Good morning, everybody. I think it's my second time here. Feel like it's a second home. And it's so wonderful to be back. Your coffee is the best in Josh Jen. Please don't tell the others. And I really feel at home. When I walk in here, smile on my face. There's so many people that I can greet. And normally you say, hi, Marnie. And I go, face management, hi, because I don't remember your name. And I just have to look like I know your name. So I apologize for some of you where I look like, hello, how are you? So it's such a pleasure. And for those of you that don't know, I'm married to Lindsay. I've got two daughters. One is studying, and the other one is in TMT, also studying and being discipled. And we moved to Zambia 12 years ago and planted a church called Gospel Central Church. And we had a wonderful briar about a week ago where our building nearly burned down. And so, we didn't have a bride, but it seems like it was a bride that was started by a shop nearby. So we meet in a shopping center, and our building nearly burned down. So fortunately, they stopped it. So I'm sure I've not been back since. So I'm sure it sounds like smell like a bride place when they're meeting here this morning. But I'm just looking forward to speak this morning to you. And one of the things, as we were praying and Rian introducing me, it's just always, I want you to go away this morning, forgetting my name, forgetting what I look like, forgetting the fact that I can barely speak English with not you noticing my Afrikaans accent. And Yelin was breaking the news this morning to me that my accent is even thicker than Rian's. And when we started the church in Lusaka, there's genuine Americans that came to our church because we have Americans as well, and some of them needed translation just to understand what I'm actually saying. And many times guys would come to me afterwards and say, just Marnie, I just have to remind myself constantly that it's your second language. It's like, I don't know if that's a compliment or not, because the E's and R's not going right all the time. But first of all, I want to say, Rian, Helen, all the rest of the eldership team, thank you for the privilege that I can share this morning, and it's a great honor, a great privilege. I was standing there, and as we were worshiping God, I thought, this is so unfair. I mean, we're worshiping God, we're exalting Him, and we make His name high, and then this round guy walks up. And I'm thinking, yes, this is at the back of exalting the King, and then this round, gray, Afrikaner, half can maybe speak English guy has to walk up and come in the wake of that. But anyway, what I want to do this morning, I used to be in sales a bit, and so what I've been taught is that when you're in sales and you sell something to somebody, that you have to sort of let them say as many yeses as possible until you get to the product, right? You have to say yes, 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 and then you get to the product. Now, I don't want to sell a product to you, but I'm going to upfront tell you what I'm going to do with you. Upfront, I'm going to tell you that I'm going to present something to you, and I want you to say, yes, that's true. Yes, that's true. And I want to get as many yeses out of you until I get to the point. Is that okay? That's it. You get this. Yes, there's a smart congregation, this. Huh? I'm telling you. They even understand my language. Yes. And see, we live in a world that are so focused on self-development. And I used to go through that season of my life where it's all about self-development, and you do MBTI, and you do a DISC, and you do all these personality tests, and they are good and they're helpful. But unfortunately, sometimes they become the ultimate thing. And it's all about self-improvement and self-development. But what I want to present to you this morning, it's going to be a simple message. I don't think it's going to be complicated. We're going to think, what is he actually saying? But what I, at the same time, as it's a simple message, I believe it's going to also, if you completely get what I'm sharing with you, can radically change the way you see yourself, the way you see church. And I have learned that the best self-development tool ever developed is called the church. The tool, if I may use that word, that has helped me develop into, or busy developing into, everything God's got for me is the church. There's nothing. I mean, if you know how many tests I've done, If you know, I've done lots of stuff about self-awareness and strength finders and all these things that many of you would know. I'm telling you, I used to train John Maxwell programs. I understand these things. Can I tell you, nothing of these things come close to finding myself in the local church daily, trusting that the people around me, each one of you, no matter where you come from, can actually play a role and helping me to be formed into the image of Christ and becoming everything God has called me to be. So the question I want to ask is, what's the ultimate purpose? What's your ultimate purpose this morning? What do you think is your ultimate purpose? I'll help you. You can say, Marnie, my ultimate purpose is to be the fastest, the smartest, the best looking guy in town because I'm still looking for a wife. But I want to present to you that your ultimate purpose, my ultimate purpose in life is to glorify Him. And that is not just a little throwaway, it just sounds sweet because we're in church now. But I believe it with my whole heart that our ultimate purpose is to bring glory to Him. And that's what I hope I can do, even though I might not be the shape that you want me to be. And don't worry, I'm not trying to focus on me, but I'm saying, as you see that, I say, well, God can use a donkey, He can use me. And the point is not to focus on me, the point is to know that God can use me. I want you to go away here saying, God can use me. I can play an integral part. And as I play my part, I can help others to see God's glory and be glorified. And in that, all of us can walk into the purpose that God got for us, and that is to glorify Him. Yes. Yes. So I want to give you sort of exactly the structure of my message from the beginning to the end, so that those of you that normally use this time to catch up on your naps because you were out last night late, so that you know what it's about, so that when you get home and somebody asks you, what was the message about, you can say, don't worry, that was a good guy, gave it to me up front, I don't have to remember anything. Is that a good? So as I give you exactly what I'm going to talk about, I want you, as I'm taking you on this journey, I want you to see and recognize this pattern as we preach. I want you to see this golden thread in what I'm saying all along. Okay, so this is all you have to write down, and then you can put your pen down if you want to. Our ultimate goal is to glorify Him. How do we do that? We do that through living holy lives. We do this, how do we live holy lives? We live holy lives by learning to love one another through community. Through confronting one another with biblical truth. So let's say it again. We call to glorify Him through living holy lives. How do we live holy lives? We live holy lives by living in community, allowing ourselves to be confronted in a biblical way. That will lead to bringing Him glory. Got it? You wanted to hear it the third time? We're called to glorify Him through living a holy life, by living a true life of community, by allowing ourselves to be biblically confronted with the truth. That's my point. The snoozers, you can go, I won't mention you, I won't point you out, so you can go and sleep. I want you to turn to Romans 11 verse 33. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. The reason I'm reading the New Living Translation, because it's easy to hear, see, and hear, and I'm Afrikaans. So, thee and thou, King James, doesn't make sense to me. Romans 11 verse 33, I think it's going to be on the board. It says the following. You see, that's a strange translation. Never heard of the NLT, XML, TXT. But anyway, that's the translation. Romans 11 verse 33 says, oh, now I want you to notice these key moments. I told you what I'm going to talk. So listen and see if you can notice these key themes as I'm sharing the scripture. It says, Romans 11 verse 33, it says, oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. And I want you to skip to verse 36. For everything comes from Him and exists by His power, and it's intended for His glory. All things were made for His glory. all things under the heaven and the earth were made for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen. Then we move on to verse 12. And it says, and so, and in many translations it says, therefore, which almost always means what has gone before, is what we need to understand so that we can read the next part. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, because everything is made for his glory, because of, and the whole of the first 11 chapters of Romans, as we know, speaks about the gospel and what God has done for us. And now it comes, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, in the light of what I've done for you, give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. That's now speaking for the first 11 chapters. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. It needs to be holy. Our lives need to be holy. And so often when we hear, our lives need to be a holy sacrifice, living and holy sacrifice to him, I think we have a wonderful theoretical idea of what that means. But when it plays itself practically out in our life of community, it's like it becomes a bit more complicated. But we're going to get there. The kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. There's the theme of holiness coming through again. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Verse 3. And I'm skipping parts just for the sake of time. You can read it later. Don't think. Oh, this is huge. Seems like a little throwaway verse. Don't think you are better than you really are. In other words, we should stop suffering from comparisitis. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith God has given you. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. Then I want to continue. Then it continues and says, what has God given us to help us to live this holy life? Because now we see in the light of what he's done for us, he's called us to glorify him. And the light of that is calling us to a holy life. So now, 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 12. You can follow it on the screen if you want to, or turn it into your Bible. 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 12 says the following. It says, okay, I want to make sure that anyone wants to get there. Okay. And may the Lord make your love for one another. In other words, who is the originator of love? Who makes you love other people? Because we think like, oh, I want to love him. No, you can't. Love, the love that we call to love for one another is come from him. And that's a scripture. And 1 John speaks about it. He is the originator of that love. Not this good feely love. It's not what we call to here. We call to love. Love means you before me. Remember? You before me, and lust means I before you. So it says here, and may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflow. May he, as a result, here we see the connection, as a result of helping us or making us love one another, as a result, make your heart strong, blameless, and holy. So there we see the connection. There we see that it's saying that as we learn to love one another, a love that comes from Christ, as we are in Christ, because that's what it is, we are in Christ, Christ in us, the hope of glory, the Holy Spirit, his Spirit flowing in and through us. And as we die to ourselves and we allow his Spirit to work in and through us, we will learn, because he gives us that love, and the love comes from him. It flows from who and what he is as it flows through us. Because he gives us that love, we will learn to live a holy life that will lead to glorifying him. So, may he as a result make your heart strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father when the Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. Amen. Then it says, then a question I want to ask, what's the main vehicle? What's the main vehicle in which we learn to love one another? Obviously, you know the answer because I've given it to you up front. It's called Ephesians 3:10, and it says, God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. The church, the local church, this messy place. Because if this is not a messy place, it's probably not church. This is messy. Just look around you. There's all sizes here. This sizes, these sizes, these sizes. And the opposite. What's the opposite? What happens if we don't engage this beautiful body that God has given us to work out His love for us and our love for one another? And it's this. What happens if we don't? Proverbs 18 verse 1 says the following. Whoever isolates himself. That is a scripture for today. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. If you're sitting here this morning, you say, Marnie, you're smoking something. I can worship God and I can live this Christian life on my own in front of a wonderful TBN message. I want to say to you, that is the scripture for you. It says this, whoever isolates himself, seeks his own desire, he breaks out against all sound judgment. Simple as that. We don't even have to go to the command, not suggestion, in Hebrews that talks about that we do not forsake the gathering of believers. It's just one verse, Marnie, that says it like that. You know, I have options. I'm a Westerner. I live in a world where I have options. TV, evening, morning. And even as far as like, oh, you know what, I'm going to take a break in AM, edge meet AM. Tonight I'm going to go a bit to PM and then I'm gonna just, you know, it's Josh Jane after all. But I think even in something like that, that sounds so wonderful. See, the thing is we need to live in community with the people that know us. I can travel to all the Josh Janes all day long, week after week, I'm visiting another one and still be out of the will of God. Living in community with people that know me. So if you're part of AM, you're part of AM. Sorry for you. Colossians 3 verse 12. And then, I have a few things to say. Colossians 3 verse 12 says the following. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves. Now, it's sort of reiterating what I've said. You must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy. Now, it's Luke showing us what love looks like. Tender-hearted mercy. What's mercy? Mercy says, I will not give you what you deserve. I will not say what you deserve sometimes. That's what mercy means. You don't get what you deserve. I will clothe you with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, which so many of us possess. Make allowance for each other's faults. Hear that one? Make allowance for your funny brother or sister that acts weird and says things out of place and comes late. And don't worry, while you get angry, while they come late, your anger is of course not as sinful as their late coming. Oh, sorry, we have another word for it. I'm a bit annoyed. I'm irritated. I'm just a bit off. You know, we've got these nice words for anger, because that's what that word means, anger. Frustrated, annoyed, angry, unhappy, warm under the collar, you pressed my button, whatever ones you can look at. Ask me, I'm a professional, not in the late coming one. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you. In the light of the fact that He's forgiven you, forgive. So you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love and with which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Let the message about Christ in all its riches fill your lives. In other words, what it's saying there, we grow and being saturated with an understanding of what the gospel, the good news of Jesus really means, that we will become so fluent in gospel truth that we would be in any season, in season and out of season, be able to speak to my brother and sister the gospel truth and not my own advice, according to the kingdom of Marnie. Because if we're honest with ourselves, it is all about our kingdoms. It's our kingdom when we get angry at somebody else's kingdom invading your kingdom principles. Because that's what it's about. So it says, let the message about Christ and all its riches fill your lives. Teach and counsel. That word counsel, we can say teach and disciple. Teach and care for. Teach and shepherd one each other with all the wisdom he is given. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative, an ambassador of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks enough to him, to God, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So what we see here, if you follow the scriptures, and I hope you've written it down, you can wrestle with it through again. What we see is we are called to counsel, called to disciple one another. However, why do we struggle to counsel one another, to share with one another, to speak the truth in love to one another? Why do we struggle with it? See, our failure to speak truth to one another biblically is rooted in our tendency to run after God replacements. What is that? Because see, we love something else above God. That's why we struggle to speak the truth to one another. Another word used, to confront one another in biblical truth. We fail to confront not because we love others too much, but because we love ourselves too much. We love our reputation too much. And so often I say, no, I can't go and speak to him. I just love them too much. It's like, that's confusing. Really? And then the best part is we believe that he's saying. That's actually nonsense. I'm not allowed to say nonsense from the pulpit, can I? But you know what I mean. We are afraid of what other people will think. We do not find relationships easy because others compete for our glory. Because if we're honest with ourselves, we're glory thieves. I mean, God should get the glory. We know that theoretically. But it's when somebody is in the limelight, it's like, oh, no, they don't see me. Well, is it about you or him? It's about his glory. Because we're honest with ourselves, we're glory thieves. And see, that's why we struggle with relationships. And anyone here this morning sitting here saying, Marnie, I don't really struggle to confront. No, you just may be better than somebody else, but you struggle with confrontation. Because if we're honest with ourselves, we do love ourselves. Our default is we love ourselves more than we love Christ. It's our default sometimes. And if we allow the gospel to work through us, yes, we can get to a place where we love others more. But there's this whole distension the whole time. Your reputation matters to you. And there is an aspect of our reputation does matter because we're ambassadors to Christ. And how we live our lives does matter. But sometimes we confuse it with, I'm an ambassador of God. No, man, it's just your selfishness coming through there. We're not called to be nice. We're called to love. And see, beneath it all, we want to be our own gods. Revealing to ourselves all the truth we need. Because somehow we think we've got all the truth. And see, I want to use a real life example. Sorry, Rian doesn't know this is coming. But it's... Because I know Rian loves me. Because I know he walks in submission. Because I know he has opened his life to correction. Because I know this man lives a posture, this man walks in a posture of being corrected. And he opens his life for regular correction and regular input. And I know one of these men are this guy, so I'm not going to over-theorize it for you. This is true. This mind speaks into his life. Because of that, this guy that is 16, 17 years younger than me can sit in my lounge in Lusaka and say, Marnie, you know I love you, and I know it's coming. And he brings correction to something I did in the local church. And because of my posture, because I believe I have a posture of wanting to be corrected, because I know I'm so blind, it's ridiculous. I need big, thick glasses. And that won't even help me. Because it doesn't matter how thick my glasses is. Oh, it is. See, told you. Thank you. Thank you for that, huh? For a grammar test. So doesn't matter how thick my glasses are, I can still not see what's happening behind me. And see, in our effort, we say, no, I need to make my glasses thicker. No, you need to trust your brother to see what you don't see. And see, because I am developing a posture that I'm blind, and I'm starting to understand the gospel more. I don't go, yeah, but what if Rian is wrong? I go, Rian is right. And if it's a serious thing, I'll go, Kim, do you also see it? I didn't have to ask Kim because Kim, I know Kim would have said, yeah, yeah. And see, I am bringing more glory to God because that is brought, I've used that. He doesn't know this. I've used him as an example in our church a few times. And see, that's why we need to understand this. Rian might be, how old are you, Rian? 34. But see, we can so find ourselves in a trap and say, who's this 34-year-old? What can he tell me? I want to say, you're sinning. That's not the posture of the kingdom. I didn't look at Rian. I constantly used it as an example, but I didn't look at Rian and say, he's 34, what does he know? Very careful. It's easy to hide behind this. What does this young man know? Because I don't see that in Scripture. I don't see that Rian's age qualifies him. His posture, his character, and all those things. Sorry, Rian, I'm not trying to preach about you. I'm just using an example. And Rian and I are friends. Rian and I am friends. That's why. See, truth, not spoken in love, ceases to be truth. Because it's twisted by other human agendas. Your agenda. And see, love is not guided by truth. Love that is not guided by truth ceases to be true love. Because it's divorced from God's agenda. Truth and love. I didn't say nice and truth. See, speak truth after you love and know, not before. And it is important that we, in the church, will build relationships. Love one another. Get to know one another. It's just easier to speak to somebody the truth when I know them. Not via what they post on Facebook. We were speaking earlier with, I think, Kim and Rian. We were talking here, speaking in the front. And I was saying, Facebook is an evil. It's anti-community. Because you read on Facebook and you think you know what Andrew is about. No, you don't. That's just little bits and pieces. Or you know me because you maybe have seen I've posted something and Facebook has replaced, hey, bud, how are you? Let's do coffee. WhatsApp, voice messages has replaced, how's it, bud? Let's do coffee. And we don't know one another. We think friendship by WhatsApp. And then we want to correct somebody in love by WhatsApp. Woo, woo. And the nice thing about WhatsApp, you're glorious, sir. Do you know why? Because you can send that voice message and before it goes, you can delete it again. And why? Because, oh, what if it was the wrong word? Can I tell you what? In that, you know when you talk to somebody and you go over the top and you say something you shouldn't have said and you go too far and then you have to autocorrect, that's part of God's plan because you ain't perfect. God's plan is that you sometimes will overplay love and overplay truth and mix up the two. And it's like, oh, that's not what I mean. I want to always say when somebody speaks to me and they say, oh, I didn't mean it. No, you do. Because the overflow of the mouth comes from here. So now that part you said, you know, I didn't mean it. No, you did. Ooh. Because I have foot and mouth disease, therefore I have to develop the skill to say sorry, which I have to do a lot, because I have foot and mouth disease. And I don't want to hide behind voice message, oh, delete, delete, delete. And then when you don't, and it would be quicker, otherwise it sends it and he can hear it before you delete it. But here's the thing. Before you're willing to speak the truth to somebody else, speak the truth to yourself and ask yourself, but what's the motive behind wanting to bring correction or share something that I see in my brother and my sister? And that's where we skip it. It's like, no, I need to tell him. I'm so annoyed. I need to go and speak to them. I think you better wait a little bit. I find that stuff I want to instantaneously just say. No, 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 no. The other day, Andrew communicated to me about something that I got wrong when I did cross-cultural training, a posture, something that I could have said a better way. He sent me a message. And that's okay. Andrew and I'm friends. He can send me a message. So just don't get confused now. So he sends me this message. I listen to it, and I'm thinking, I've got a few seconds. I can sit on this, because he gave me a nice sandwich. You know, sandwich, nice, boom, boom, nice. And I'm differently wired. I don't like sandwiches. Just boom. That's enough for me. And I sat there and I thought, I'm not going to overthink this. I said, Andrew, thank you for this. That guy that gave you perspective, just send it all to me. There's no problem. And I immediately made a decision that I'm going to make an adjustment. But then it goes further. I phoned somebody else. While later, speaking to them on the phone. I know this person knows me well and he likes me to bits. So my thoughts go, I need to, and it's, I could have done it. Because, I'm not going to give you the details. I could have done it in the sense of this guy is also a leader. And I thought, I'm going to send this to him and just get his perspective as well. And as I'm standing there, this Marnie's kingdom is now boxing here inside. I thought I'm over this, but now I need justification. And I'm thinking, no. We're not going to send a message to anyone. I'm just going to take it as it comes. And I'm not trying to glorify me and how I reacted. I want to actually show you how sinful I am. How messed up you and I are. How much our kingdom just wants to box other kingdoms. What a desire I have for my kingdom to reign and rule. How much I am actually a glory thief. How I get sick and tired sometimes as a leader of a church to yet again go and confront somebody. And I'm thinking, I have said sometimes, and I'm tired of going to pick a fight. And I'm just going to leave it. And I did. And it's called abdication. It's all about me. That's what it's called. And you might have thought, geez, Marnie is so loving these days. He's not confronting me anymore. No, Marnie is self-centered. That's why he's not confronting you. Because what if you give it back to me? What if you're even wrong when you give it back to me? Because y'all, imagine the way Kim speaks to me. Well, I just want to say, it's not true. You must just hear one thing. Even if he's the most horrible person in this room, giving me feedback, I believe God uses it and there's always truth in it. And that's what he knows. I don't take that because it's come from the horrible, most unloving person in this whole room, which is not true. Most loving person and this unloving person, I'm not going to take it from him. You better well take it from him because God uses all shapes and sizes. And God, he is responsible before God to answer and how he did it. But you will be held responsible for how you react to the confrontation. We love to say, yeah, but it's her. The other day, there's a couple sitting in our lounge. You're never going to come for marriage. I know you're going to go to Kevin all the time after this. You're not going to come for marriage counseling after you hear this. Couple sits in front of me, husband and wife, and they, yeah, but it's him. Yeah, but it's her. Yeah, but Isaac. On and on. And I start. It's my opening statement. I said, let's call her Anne. I said, Anne, I just want to tell you, you're way worse than you think you are. Why did I say that? Because you know why we love to blame? Because somehow we don't understand the gospel. We don't understand how bad we are. We don't understand our condition outside of Christ. It's way worse than you can imagine. And somehow you and I think that we can attain God's standard for our lives. That's why we perform. And we don't realize how holy He is. Because if we do, we'll never perform. Because you can't make it. You ain't going to make it. You cannot be as holy as God. It's His righteousness in you, not yours. And then you don't realize how bad you are. So you blame other people because you don't think you're as bad as Him. So then husband and wife sit there. Bottom line of all marriages is self-centeredness. That's the issue. The issue, if you want to bring it down to one thing, all marriages, all relationships is this. You just love yourself more than the other, than God. You don't understand the gospel. You don't understand that you're way worse than you think. See, because I find that the more I realize how much I suck, the more it is easy to hear Lindsay correcting me. Because I've got the same condition. But as soon as I think I'm the man, it's like I can't hear what she's saying because she's speaking to a pretty cool guy here. Speaking truth is a lifestyle, not just an event. Your life speaks. The failure to speak truth is hatred. It's not love. It's not being nice. It's not love either. It's hatred. And see, what we need to understand, it's human to help, to need help outside of myself. It's not part of the fall. Do you know that? The fact that you and I need help, the fact that I need you to help me to become like Christ is before the fall. You were made to be dependent. You were not made to be independent. You were made to be dependent on the Creator. But that's why we sinned, because we wanted to be the Creator. We ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because we wanted to be God. That's the point. And we want our kingdoms to reign. And therefore we want to find meaning in God's job in the life and in this world is to give us the answers we want. Because we want meaning. We demand meaning because we're democracy. I'm insufficient on my own. We were created with a need for community in order to really see and know ourselves. I so need you to become more like Jesus. I need you. Don't be intentional about this. I need you to annoy me sometimes. I need you to just rub me up the wrong way and vice versa. I need it. I don't need people around me to just say, "You're so amazing." That's why this nonsense of being a leader of a church and being elevated above the people and becoming, and like we see so often in Zambia and in Africa, as a man of gold and a man of God. That's why it's so dangerous. Because actually it's saying, don't speak into my life. I can speak into your life, but you can't speak into my life. And you understand where that goes? Effective biblical confrontation often begins before we speak. How we live with one another from day to day sets the stage for the way our words will be received. Poor counselors, Christian counselors, that are living outside of the church, and they have a practice, and you have to go and see them, and they have no clue how you live your life in community. And actually, you don't understand community if the starting place of you dealing with the pain and the suffering that you're going through, and the starting point is to go and see a counselor and not your local church. Because you arrive there and all they can do is help you with what you've told them, which is already blinded. They don't know how you treat your husband and you. You don't treat your wife. They don't know how you treat people. They are so, it's like, poor them. Then you come back supposedly fixed, but you're not fixed. Because it's so out of community that they're helping you. They're actually giving you great, mostly they give you good advice. Because just tagging a Bible verse onto psychology and philosophy and humanistic thought doesn't make it Christian. It just makes it who knows what. See, God's primary goal is not to change our situation and relationships so that we can be happy, but change us through our situations and the relationships so we will be holy. The ultimate goal of marriage, no, men, it's not S. It's H. Holiness. That's the aim of marriage. Holiness. There's no problem with X. It's H. That's why God gives us marriages. That's why God gives us children. That's why God gives us church, because He wants us holy. That's why God gives us multicultural churches. Ooh, my black brother that comes late all the time and then I get angry while he gets late. Oh, that's just for your benefit. And while my black brother wants to go to 6 funerals of his 6 fathers, and you as a whitey don't understand it, it's part of our, that is for your benefit. My black brothers, I do understand that. I don't have time to talk about that. The church is a place where flawed people gather to love God and love people and to learn to love others as He has designed. The church is messy. Yes? Yes, that's where you should say yes. Sorry, you haven't had a yes for a long time now. The church is messy and inefficient. Yes. But it's God's wonderful mess. Yeah, that wasn't so loud. Where he radically transforms hearts and lives. Yes. We are all spiritual. No, they say, I am spiritual blind. Yeah, yes. Look to your spouse and say, I'm spiritual blind. I need you in order to really see and know myself. Otherwise, I will listen to my own arguments, believe my own lies, buy into my own delusions. Be my self-perception is as accurate as a carnival mirror. We never created to be our own source of wisdom. This is what the book of Proverbs says. It speaks about a fool. It says, a fool is convinced he is right. It's in the Bible, don't worry, nobody here. I know nobody has ever said that. This Bible says a fool is convinced he is right. A fool spurns discipline and correction. It's in the Bible. You can get the references for me later to check it up. It delights in airing his own opinions. It's in the Bible. He's quick to quarrel. Scorns wisdom. Another one. He's wise in his own eyes. That's all different ones. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different verses. Trust in himself. I want to finish with this. Why do you avoid confrontation with others? Ask yourself this question this morning. Why do you avoid confrontation with other people? And don't tell me because you're shy. Because somebody says, oh, you know, Marnie, I'm just shy, you know, I'm introverted. Now, that's just another form of pride. Because you actually want what the extroverts have and the overconfident ones have got. So we can't hide behind, I'm shy and I'm introverted. No, we can't. Why do you avoid confrontation with others? Next one. When is the last time someone confronted or challenged you? And then I can put in brackets. That's the first question. And the second question, and you haven't manifested. And with a brave face, you went, oh, thank you for that. I appreciate it so much. Come, I want to give you a hug. What was the last time somebody confronted? Last time you confronted somebody else? When last? Now don't worry, we're not going to practice it right after and say, okay, now look around, and I'm sure there's many options. So run to somebody else and go and confront him quickly. Just going to practice what we preach. I'm sure there's many options around. And I want to give you a tip. You run to them before somebody runs to you. That's the tip. The last time you confronted somebody, what did you do well? What did you do well? Think. What could you have done more effectively, more lovingly? And then, when you confront or challenge somebody else, whose agenda drives your conversation? So now, I think I preached for 5 weeks through the topic of submission and leadership in our church. And I think it's one of the things, and I want to leave us with this, is one of the things we struggle with is the whole thing of submission. We struggle when somebody in authority comes to us and they say, you know, I see this in your life. I see that in your life. And if we're honest, we say, who's he to talk? And see, I think maybe I'll leave it there. Who's he to talk? And I want to ask us, if we this morning, as before, as we go about in our day and we go and eat our chickens and whatever's in the oven, that we will go and think this through. Whose glory do we live for? We call to glorify him. How do we do that? Through living holy lives. How do we do that? Living in community. And if we live in community, what are we called to do? Confronting others in love. Speaking the truth in love. And that's what we're called to do. And the things, many things, there's many of you sitting here this morning that are struggling with certain things. And I want to tell you, struggle and you're wrestling and you're just not getting on top of it. And it's around the mountain, here we go. I don't know how that song goes. What? We go, no. I don't know. No, I messed it up now. But many of us go around the mountain. And we've read books. And a book is not a community tool. We read a book. And we read a book. And we read another book. And we read another book. And somehow it's not helping. And maybe the simple answer is this. There's a guy in our church. I've been working with him for 4 years. Oh, sorry, he's not in our church anymore. He left. 4 years working with him. Yeah. He understands the Christianity like you cannot believe it. Yeah. 0 out of 10. And because of the lack of this, the fruit in his life, the fruit in his ministry, it's probably too much. Sad. This is how we work out this. If you say to me, Marnie, I had somebody once say to me, Marnie, I don't struggle with this loving God thing, but the loving people thing I struggle with. Huh? It's like loving Jesus but not loving his body. It's like a decapitated Christianity. How does that go? I want to say to you, your kingdom and your desires and your motives want to let you run the other way. And I want you to, you need to say, Lord, help me this morning so that I run in the direction I don't want to run. That I would have a posture where I would go to my friends. Start with the friends. If this is something you struggle with, go to your friends and say, hey, man, is there something, one thing, please don't go for two yet. One thing. Is there one thing in my life that you think I can do better? Please don't speak for 10 minutes. Just short. Keep it short and sweet. I'm serious, guys. It's practical. It's like, don't go to the guy that you know is okay with this. No, just go a gentle, sweet and say, come on. And if they don't want to, say, please, I beg you. I'll pay you. Guys, that's how Christianity is. That's what it is. That's simple. It is actually it is simple like that. I believe many of us will get breakthroughs and all these mountains we want to climb by doing something simple as, Peter, what do you see that I don't see? Please, Peter. And I was like, eventually, okay. David, can you tell me what you're seeing? Because Peter's still thinking. And keep the list short. Can you close your eyes? I want to pray and ask God. Father, I ask that you will help us. That this will not just be, this message is not a, will not be, oh, that was a good message or not a good message. But actually, this, Lord, that it will cut us to the heart. I say, Lord, thank you for church. Thank you for community. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful organism called Messy Church. So, Lord, I pray my prayers this morning for each one sitting here. Each one, everyone, every single person, that you will help them to maybe just pop in their mind somebody that they can go to. They haven't done it for a long time. Somebody that can walk over to them today, whenever, and say, please help me to see what I don't see. And Father, help us to have the courage and the faith in God to repent. Not to just smile, but say, Lord, I repent of that. I want to change. I don't want to do it on my terms. I want to do it in your terms. And I put my faith in you to help me because I'm not going to try harder. I'm going to ask you to work in and through me. I'm going to die to myself. Help us, Lord. Let us be courageous. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.